From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guests today are Jahan and Yasmin Yusuf, two-thirds of the dubstep sensation Cruella. Jahan and Yasmin handle vocal duties for the trio, while Chris Trindle, aka Ranman, produces the crisp instrumentation and dizzying drops for the group. Last weekend, Cruella performed at Soldier Field in their hometown of Chicago for Spring Awakening and released their debut EP, Play Hard, on Monday. We'll talk all about that in a minute, but first, a word from our sponsors, Insomniac, Madison House, and Prime Social Group, who are returning to Rothbury, Michigan next weekend for the second annual Electric Forest Festival, featuring headliners Bass Nectar, STS9, Steve Aoki, Girl Talk, 12th Planet, Richie Houghton, Thievery Corporation, Ghostland Observatory, Wolfgang Gartner, Big Gigantic, and more. Tickets and a schedule now online at electricforestfestival.com. All right, let's get to the interview. Let's say I told you, let's pick a date, maybe 1 year ago, early May of 2011, that in a year's time, you'd be just getting off the plane from London and Las Vegas. What do you think you would have said to me?
I would have never expected this to be happening.
Yeah, me neither.
Back a year ago, I probably thought it was going to be another 4 years.
Yeah, that seems about right.
So you knew that it was coming. You knew that this sort of attention and fame and you know, the spotlight would be there, but you were on the four-year plan.
I mean, you have to have faith that what you're doing is going to end up in what you want it to end up in, or else, like, what are you doing it for? So we always had, like, that end goal, this is not even the end. We always had this as a goal. But to have it happen so soon is kind of crazy. It's not even real yet.
Do you have the sense of, hell yeah, we've made it? Or do you feel like you still have a lot to prove among your peers and even the rest of the industry?
I definitely feel like we have a lot more to prove, just because no one else knows what we have on the back burner right now and, like, what we have in the works. But there's so much, like, we don't even have our EP out. And beyond the EP, we just have, like, potential album songs. We have so much more that, like, we can't wait to get out there. We don't have that attitude of, like, yeah, we made it already. I don't think we'll ever have that, because I feel like we're always going to be, like
reach the next level.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So which one of you is older?
This is Jahan right here, and I'm the older one, unfortunately. I wish I was still 19.
But then I get to defer to you, because you're older, you're the more authoritative one, right?
Fuck yeah, I am.
So then let's get into your backstories. Jahan, are you guys originally from Chicago?
Yasmin and I were actually born in Texas, but thank goodness we did not acquire an accent while we were out there, because we moved when we were little babies. We moved to Chicago, and I'd say,
I mean, we're from there. We call ourselves Chicagoans. Yeah. We've lived
there
all of our
raised
lives.
There. And then a year ago, Yasmin and I moved in with Chris in a loft in the West Loop in Chicago, which is where we basically, like, all the music that's out there, that's where everything was made. So it's a loft where we lived and recorded in.
So, I mean, Chicago, it's in your blood, the blues and funk of the city. Did you grow up going out and seeing shows? And I mean, if you're right there in Chicago, everything's at your fingertips, you know, pop, rock, jazz, everything that you get with living in a metropolitan center.
So Chicago is actually an extremely eclectic city for music. So we grew up going to, like, pretty much any type of show you could imagine. So yeah, we definitely got across the board with music in Chicago. It's a great place to grow up for music. You get everything.
So Yasmin, you were, as a little kid, you know, you want to be a star. You dress up for your parents and put on plays and was singing always a goal for you guys? Was that something that you wanted to do? Was that going to be your creative outlet?
Wait, first of all, where'd you hear about that dressing up and putting on plays shit? Because that's, like, classified information, bro. Where are you getting that?
Well, I'm got to assume that if there are two young girls in a house, they're going to get together and they're going to A, play newscaster. One of them's going to be the anchor and one of them's going to be the field reporter. There's going to be some My Little Pony action. These things, they're just standard. They're just standard practice.
Actually, it was more like we'd play house and I was always the dad. Or
yeah,
the boyfriend.
Jahan was always the dude.
Maybe because I have a lower voice. Unfortunate.
No, but yeah, me and Jahan, I mean, we definitely grew up doing that, but we also, I mean, as early as maybe when I was 6 or 7 and Jahan's 2 years older, so she's like 9 or something, we were making stupid songs together and recording them. Me and Jahan were always making music together, whether it was like just for fun or serious, we've always been doing it.
I do have to say though, it was once we went through school and like it was always something that we loved doing and it was a hobby of ours, but I don't know, in this society, like, right now, it seems like an unrealistic dream to people, like, you know, being a successful recording artist. So it always seemed kind of unrealistic, and I think when we connected with Chris, because, like, you could be a singer, and you could write songs, and you have a great voice, but, like, there's always the other end of things. You have to have someone who could, like, make the music for it.
Pull it all together.
Yeah, you turn it into a product, turn it into, like, a group. So we never really, like, it never seemed like it was practical because of that. So when we met Chris, it really seemed like, you know, it started coming together because he was, you know, he could fulfill the other end, which was making the actual music for it. So then it started turning it into, you know, an actual reality.
So even as kids, your folks weren't like stage moms. They weren't dragging you to vocal lessons 11 hours a day, and you weren't running track like Beyonce and singing your songs and trying to dance for 5 hours straight and do all that. I mean, it was very low key.
Yeah, that's actually our manager who's doing all that. When we met one of our managers, Nathan, he was the one that
stage
started
mom.
Being like, yeah, he's the stage mom, I have to say. Our parents are super low-key, and they never pushed us to do anything. They kind of just, like, they never put us in any sort of lessons or, like, pushed us in a certain direction. We kind of naturally fell into art. Like, Yasmin and I, we were always, you know, in graphic design classes and, like,
drawing classes. Choir
also.
Orchestra.
But it was,
you name it.
It was voluntary. Like, we chose to do it.
So your folks are still waiting for you to get a real job then?
No, you know what? I think they finally get it. It's settled in that this is the shit we're doing. We're on this track. There's no going back with this one.
No, I imagine not. But when you were kids, I mean, before this is, you know, the dance music re-evolution that's happened, you know, that we're at a crossroads where suddenly, you know, dance music went away for a while because of warehouse raves and the government shut down parties trying to get rid of ecstasy and all that. And suddenly, you know, for a decade it was gone, but now over the past 3, 4, 5 years, it's come back in a huge way. Before that happened, you were probably teenagers and just like, if you wanted to make music, who did you want to be essentially? In high school, you're messing around, you know, writing songs with your sister. Who did you think you could be?
That's such a hard question to answer because I don't think me and Jahan really thought this could be a career up until maybe 2.5 years ago. And I mean, I can answer for myself that, I mean, making music, I was like in an indie band, I did my own stuff, my own music. I never thought like I could be someone who made music that reached everyone. You know, because we want to cater to people who listen to rock, people who listen to pop, people who listen to EDM. We want to cross the board with that, but I never felt like I could be that.
I'd say with me, I never, and still to this day, I don't really think like, oh, I want to be like this person, because I feel like, say, I don't really have any idols either, because, I mean, I have people I look up to, but there's no one that I'm like, there's no one that I'm trying to be like, and I don't think there's anyone Cruella should try to be like, because I really believe in, like, if you want to be long-lasting and if you want to, in 5 years from now, if you want to be relevant, I feel like you have to just do your own thing and not try to be, like, a certain artist or try to, like, use a model of a certain artist and just do your own fucking thing. I can play.
The title track from Cruella's brand new EP, this is Play Hard.
I can play hard. it's your luck. Tell me you've had enough. I'm taking off these gloves. Get down and lick the dust. Want a piece of this? Want a piece of it? Cherry pie, what you gonna make of this? 1 minute in the backseat, hit the switch. I'm a predator, rapture, I am killing it.
What happened when you first heard dubstep? Did a light go on?
It was definitely like a few years ago, and it was weird. It definitely, like, for me, I went to Chris and I was just like, yo, this sounds just like metal. Like, this is your thing. Because Chris is a metal boy. He always played in metal bands and he writes like ridiculous metal riffs and he shreds. And it was a very slow process, like evolving into dubstep. We kind of like thought about it. We're like, because we were always making like dance beats, but
heavy dirty
shit. So it's weird, we didn't really like, kind of just happened naturally as far as the dubstep thing goes. Like Chris was just like fucking around with beats and one song ended up having a bridge that had a dubstep breakdown, and then all of a sudden it turns into a whole song that has a dubstep instrumental. So it really just happened naturally with that.
So you had been actually making songs, you had been producing songs with Chris before you had even developed your sound. How did you figure out that the combination of the three of you could be a real outfit and not just, you know, fucking around on a Wednesday night?
I say like having a manager reach out to us was huge, because before we had a manager reach out to us, it was just a hobby. It was like super fun and it still is fun. But it was never like, we always had our jobs on the side and we had school at the same time because we didn't think we could support ourselves making music. And then having a manager in there, basically, you know, he starts like showing you how, like, oh, you guys should come out with an EP. You guys should have release songs now. And like, he starts actually showing you how you can turn it into a career. So I'd say that definitely like helped us realize that like with our ability to create music, we can support ourselves.
Yasmin, were you playing out? Were you, you know, just booking shows for fun or playing at parties? I mean, how does somebody even find out about you if this is, you know, not such a serious thing? Were you posting clips online or how did people start hearing about Cruella?
You know, it's funny because we started on MySpace, obviously, like every band a few years ago does. And
sure,
I don't even know how we pushed it. We just put our shit out. And I remember the early phases of what we put out. I wouldn't call it an EP, but we had a few tracks out on MySpace, and it didn't really go anywhere then, but like that's how we started. We didn't do any sort of push, and then we kind of went into hiding for I think over a year. I mean, 6, 8, 10 are, we got tattoos on our neck, I guess, just to like put that out there. I don't know if you know that, but that's kind of the date that we decided to drop everything and dedicate everything to Cruella and putting all of our efforts into making this our lives. And we kind of went into hiding then, I would say. And we just made music for, what was it, like a year, year and a half. We didn't put any music out. We just honed our sound, really just like tried to figure out what Cruella should sound like, what we should look like, what we should be. And we tried really hard, and we made a lot of songs, a lot of bad songs that we would never, ever show anybody. But for some reason, it was strobe lights. We just, after we finished that song, it was like kind of a sigh of relief. We were like, this is it. This is what we need to sound like. This is the beginning of what we are going to be putting out there. It clicked. I don't know. It just clicked. And we've been coming up from there ever since.
And because you had management, because you had people interested in what you were doing, it was kind of like, aha, we stumbled upon our signature sound. Now it's time to go full bore and just jump into it. I mean, that sort of, in a way, explains this just immense, you know, release and the hugely viral success of what you guys have done.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, people think this shit happens overnight, but we were honing what we have now for a long time before we put any music out. People would ask me like, oh, what are you doing? You're not in college. What are you doing? And I'd be like, oh, I'm in a band. I'm making music. And I would hate like not having anything to show for it. But finally, when we put shit out, I was like, this is what we've been waiting for. Like, we didn't put anything out for a long time because we wanted to put the right thing out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Jahan, tell me, why is Chris called Rain Man? I hope that's affectionately used.
Oh my God, it's so affectionately used. It's a perfect name for him, too. If you ever meet him in person, spend like a day with him just drinking, you'll find out why. So he was in this, I'd say it's like 3 years ago, he decided to be part of this one beat competition in Chicago. It was at this like really small bar or like club. And there's this one producer, Ken Lewis, who was a judge there. And when, I think Chris came in like second place for the beat competition, but he was the only, basically it was like all, he was up against people playing down south beats and in like hip hop beats. And Chris was playing all these like really futuristic dance beats that he made. A lot of them were a lot of them were instrumentals for Cruella songs too that we had that we never released. But so at the end of the show, like the judges got on the mic when they were talking about like why they liked, you know, all the contestants, and one of them, Ken Lewis, who works with on Kanye Records, he was like, I think you're really talented, Chris. I just want to let you know that, you know, your name should be Raymax. Someday you're gonna have money raining down on you.
And like, nice.
It was like, honestly, that moment I'm like, dude, like that is the perfect name for you. And he has a lot of like strange mannerisms.
Yeah, Rain Man goes both ways. It's like the success thing, but it's also, he's just such a weirdo. Like, it's so hard to explain. He's amazing. He's like a crazy genius, and it's so hard to just explain, but if you knew him and met him, you would understand.
I mean, Rain Man. It gets to the point where like throughout the day you're just saying like Rain Man because of things he does.
So, I mean, we're talking major studio rat here, multi-instrumentalist, just production wizard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wizard is the word. He's a wizard.
Yeah. He's magical. We call him a wizard all the time. We beat wizard.
Beat wizard.
So tell me about the production process then. Is it the three of you just choking each other and yelling and screaming in the studio? Or have you figured out by this point of honing your sound for a year now, a year and a half, however long it took to you know, to get to this point, have you gotten into a workflow? Chris brings you something, you write it up, you spit it out, and there you go.
I mean, sometimes we choke each other.
Oh, yeah.
Not always that easy. But no, we definitely have like, we have a system now. Sometimes Yasmin and I will like come to Chris with an acapella, just something we wrote, or it could be something we wrote over an industry beat, or as you know, like we've had a couple of remixes that we've done. Most recent one is the Firehive Knife Party remix. So, and then he'll want to keep the instrumental the way it is, but add his own drop. But for originals, we usually come to him for acapellas. He'll make a beat around it. He'll work on it for a couple of days. Yasmin and I will come in and we'll be like, oh, we like this and this, like you should change this. So it's definitely like, it is a lot of like back and forth. Or then Chris will come back and he'll be like, hey, you should rewrite the verse or the hook.
Sure.
We all have like a hand in what each other does, because in the end, everyone has to be happy with the product.
Some songs just happen where it's like, well, it like feels really, really fucking perfect, where we'll come to Chris with just a song. He'll make a beat in like after just like, I'd say like two cycles of rewrites or
back and forth
producing it like comes together.
Before you come rushing.
make me scream like I seen a ghost. Drink up, I'm so. I'm like the dopest dope you've ever smoked. These feelings you evoke, I only need 1 minute till I get you in a stroke.
How do you take that studio dynamic then to the live setting? Because you're all taking turns, you know, helping craft the beats, craft the lyrics, craft the actual sound of the vocals. How do you then take that to the live setting? I wonder what that process is like when you say, okay, we've recorded this sick song, we've got all these layers and levels, and you know, we both sing at this part, or you take this verse, or whatever. How do you then take that to the stage? Or is it an ongoing process where you're learning this as you go?
A lot of it has been learning as we go as far as the live process, but it all comes down to basically when we make the music we do together, we all just love it in the end. It's about making the music that we enjoy. And when we get to perform or play out our own music live and other music that we love, I mean, being with Jahan and Chris on stage and rocking out to songs that we fucking love and that we crafted with our own fucking hands, I don't know. It's natural. It happens.
To go back to your question of like how we're doing the live show, what we've been doing for, we've been playing out for almost a year now, and we started off DJing just because like with the music we make, like a lot of it is like you have like vocoders on vocals, or vocals will be super chopped up. So through this process, we realized like how to turn it into a live show, which we just had our first debut of in the UK a few days ago. And what we did is we did like a hybrid DJ live singing show, like busted in at the end on mics and we just started like singing. It was really cool, and we kind of want to use that model to continue our tour. It really depends on the venue though, because like we just played in Vegas 2 nights ago, and it was like such a small little club space, like it's such a small little area where you could perform. So it's like not the right setup for live vocals. It's definitely more of like a DJ venue. So it really depends on the venue, but we are definitely, like, absolutely going towards, like, the live show. Like, eventually we want to have a drummer on stage with us. We want Chris on guitar. So that's in the future.
We're building.
Sure, you're building, meanwhile, playing London and Las Vegas.
Figuring out as we go.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's kind of trial by fire. You gotta figure out what you're doing in front of hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah, man. When you say it like that.
Not to psych you out, and especially since you've got this giant summer ahead of you, you know, the Indy 500 next weekend, Spring Awakening at Soldier Field. I mean, you're hitting Red Rocks, one of the most prized venues in the world, and you know, you can't forget Electric Zoo in New York City with pretty much every EDM superstar you can imagine, and this is no pressure, but I mean, you know, you're going to be playing with these people who are your idols, essentially, or people who are giants in the industry. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the audiences that you yourself are ready for this next phase of the Cruella live show?
You know, that's the thing we've been saying to ourselves, like, shows in America, they're just not ready. They're not ready to see the live show with the singing and all the other elements that are to come. But I think it all comes down to, like, when we start releasing more music and people really get to know our music, our original songs, they're going to want to see us sing live. They're going to want to see us be singing our own songs. So I think it really just depends on releases, and people will be ready when they know the music really well. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. So speaking of that, let's talk about the EP. It's coming out in a couple of weeks, June 8th, if I'm not mistaken.
Fuck it. I'm just going to leak it.
We're just going to leak it. June 8th is the plan. Like, we wanted to, it's 6/8/12, exactly 2 years after that special day that we just dropped everything to make this our life. So we really wanted it to be a special day. And it is a Friday release, which is kind of unheard of, but we really, it's a kind of a momentous thing. We wanted to do it because it means a lot to us, and hopefully it'll actually come out on 6/8/12. But yeah, it's a 6-song EP. It covers a shitload of genres, anything you can imagine, from EDM, drum and bass, dubstep, electro house, moonbaton, and progressive house too. And we just really wanted to show people that we're not trying to be pigeonholed into one genre. We want to be able to do everything. We want to make every kind of genre that we love to listen to, with still, I mean, still keeping our specific Cruella sound. There's a thread in every song that sounds like Cruella.
Yeah, I imagine that's important to you. But at the same time, are you bringing in guests, special guests that you may or may not be allowed to talk about?
On this EP, no, it's all original. Everything is okay. There's no features or anything like that. There are a lot of collab tracks coming out soon, a lot of remixes in the future. So keep an eye out.
Absolutely. And we are definitely hoping that this drops on the 8th. And like you said, if it's not going to come out officially, leak that shit.
Hell yeah. Well, hell yeah. That's probably what's going to happen.
Jahan and Yasmin Youssef, thanks so much for being on the Yonz podcast.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Can't Control Myself will wrap up this week's episode. Special thanks go to Nathan Lim and Jake Udell of Third Brain Management, and of course my guests, Yasmin and Jahan Youssef. The brand new Cruella EP, Play Hard, is out now on Beatport. Thanks also go to our sponsors, Insomniac, Madison House, and Prime Social Group, bringing you Electric Forest Festival 2012, June 28th through July 1st, in beautiful Rothbury, Michigan at the Double J Ranch. Headliners include Bass Nectar, Steve Aoki, Girl Talk, Mimosa, Yodo, Borgore, Paper Diamond, Reggie Watts, Das Racist, and a whole lot more. For a complete schedule and tickets, visit electricforestfestival.com. Please visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unz podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunz.com. Join the conversation at the Unz podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week. You, when they dim the lights, coming closer, smell this sweet perfume.